Welcome to a special Christmas Day edition of the Court Report. I'm Jerry Price, and I'm here with Princeton Head Women's Basketball Coach Courtney Banghart. And Coach, Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays.
So it's Christmas Day. We said we'd be here every Tuesday, and here we are. It's Tuesday on Christmas. And
this is sacrifice. This is commitment.
So, you know, you grew up in New Hampshire. I'm assuming that there was more than one Christmas that had snow all over the ground. And
yeah,
I would say most of them. Some
most
of them.
Of them, yeah. Especially, I mean, ice skating on Christmas Day is a pretty Banghart family tradition. Skiing, snowboarding, ice climbing.
All we didn't. So I grew up by the shore, Jersey Shore. We didn't have that many Christmases where there was snow. But
yeah.
So they sort of stand out a bit.
But, yeah.
And I remember as many Christmases where the weather's like today, where it's nice out and sunny and there's no snow on the ground.
But right.
So with your own young family, I'm assuming that you had paper flying off of packages. And
it was an earlier morning than most people had, so it's like midday here for me now. But it's for me to see the excitement in their eyes as they open up present after present, and it doesn't really matter what's in the box. It matters that Santa gave them something.
And I always assume that like the more boxes, the better. It's not what's in the box. And my experience when my kids were young is that they hardly played with anything.
Yeah.
But they love to open the boxes, and so. If you just took 20 boxes and put something small in every one of them,
totally.
They would actually...
Winners actually was a thing of ChapStick. That was a real winner for my little daughter, so that was great.
That's good. That's a good one. Because the thrill is in the opening of the present, and they all, it's a box.
Yeah, and the magic of Christmas. Last night we're heating up the fireplace with a fire, and we were leaving out oatmeal for the that sparkle at night, so the reindeers knew where to go, and just the traditions of it is pretty magical.
So we'll get back to Christmas in a minute.
Okay.
And, one thing, you and I have talked about this, but Christmas being a federal holiday.
Yeah, it's very odd.
There's a lot of people who are not Christians who don't celebrate Christmas, and I'm one of them.
Yeah.
But I still appreciate the Christmas season. I love Christmas, and I love when people say Merry Christmas. And
I always think it's someone on my staff, Jess, is we celebrated Happy Hanukkah, and it gives us so many different holidays to spend. But as someone who benefits from Christmas, I have a lot of empathy for those that think it's odd that it's a federal holiday.
So, but that's Christmas. We'll get back to that. Let's talk business first. So your team is now 7-7 after a 1-7 start. You're 5-0 since Bella came back.
Yeah.
But you've won 6 straight, and how important was it to win that game against Davidson before Bella came back?
Yeah, that was huge. I think not only did it start the month, so time-wise it was kind of neat that it was December, first game in December. Also, it was the last one without Bella, and so it wasn't that, Bella came back and now we win. It's like, no, it's December, and we're getting better, and our young players are playing better, as evidenced by Julie Cunningham getting Rookie of the Week. And, so we're just, it's been, I said at halftime, or before the game against Hartford, I said, we win this game and we're 500, and it's not often that we celebrate 500 here at Princeton, but given what we've gone through, that's what we're hunting, and we got to go out and get it.
All right, so let's start with Bella, because she's been incredible. She's giving just short of 20 points a game, just short of 10 rebounds a game, and just short of 5 blocks a game.
Yeah.
And she's been the Ivy League Player of the Week every week she's played.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, she finishes the defensive possession for us with her on the defensive rebound and on the blocks, and then positionally she allows us to play with great versatility with switching and whatnot. She holds herself to such a high standard, and I'm just trying to help her understand that you're helping us win games, and that's why you're being rewarded.
Is it what you expected from her right away? I mean, I personally thought it was going to take her a few games to get back into the groove, but she just picked it up right away.
Get her conditioning. I saw her all before the injury, so she had a huge summer of preparation. She has deserved everything she's gotten, because I saw her, a month or so in the preseason, and she's just a better player than she was.
So let's talk about two games last week. One was St. Francis of Brooklyn, and one was Hartford. Both wins. The first game, 3 players with at least 18 points. So, and none of the leading scorer was none of your leading scorers. It was Julia Cunningham at 19, and then Bella and Gabrielle Rush had 18 each.
Yeah,
I wish I could look up easily the last time a Princeton basketball team, male or female, had 3 players with at least 18 points. But that's pretty good production. And then to see Julia make 5 threes, I think, had to make you feel pretty good.
Finally, yeah. She's such a good player and has kind of hit a little bit of a roadblock to start the season, just getting used to college basketball. It's fun to see her getting back in her element now. We've been saying we need additional scorers. I think we're pretty good defensively and offensively. Just needed a little more depth and breadth, really. We sat Carly that game to give her a little bit extra rest and to get ready for a busy Friday game. We knew it was going to be an up-tempo game. So it paid off, and it allowed people to step up, and we felt really good about that win.
And so not just the game that day, but also you went to, where'd you go, Rockefeller Center? And
we did
Zero
the,
and...
yeah, we did the New York thing. I thought that was neat. You know, you'd think we're so close to Princeton, we go all the time. In New York City, we don't, and we're always in season. So you want to sort of give them a chance. And it avoided the traffic leaving Brooklyn at 4:30. And so we got to do the One World Observatory where you see sort of 360-degree view of New York. We went down to Ground Zero, and we ended up bypassing on the tree because it got to be late, and we just were, our heart was full after what we had done, and we were, you know, we obviously were leaving the next day to head out to Hartford. So,
and I saw the video from the top of the, you know, the, it was awesome. The view, and
I'd highly recommend it.
Do you have like kids who've never been to New York before?
That's a good question. Probably a few. I'm always, you know,
Carly. I mean,
Carly.
Iowa kid.
Yeah, she's been in. You know, a lot of our alums live there.
What is it like for a kid from Iowa to,
I know,
to see that?
What is it like for a kid from New Hampshire to see it? You know, yeah, it's. I think the general gratitude that our kids approach everything. They were so grateful for the experience. It was really neat.
So then you go into the game against Hartford. One, you have a short turnaround from the St. Yeah. Francis game, and two, it's a team that their results got your attention. They had,
for sure.
They had beaten Harvard by 13.
Mm-hmm.
They had just gone to overtime the game before with 22nd-ranked Michigan State.
Yeah.
And you know, so your game was on at the same time that the men were playing at Lafayette. So,
oh, right. You were at Devil's Scream, yeah.
And by the time I turned your game on,
yeah,
I think it was like, I don't know, it was like 24-9 or something like that. So you guys got off to a great start and really never made it, let them make it a game.
Yeah, it was for those that didn't get a chance to see it. I mean, it was probably one of the best defensive efforts I've seen. You know, we really are starting to understand how we want to play defensively. And so it's a really good offensive team that we just didn't give them a shot, any good look throughout the possessions. And then, you know, we've gotten more and more comfortable playing a variety of styles. You know, I've been a huge fan, as you know, of scheduling the way we have. And it's why we're so much better now, is we're way more seasoned than we would have otherwise been had we played low-level teams. So we go into a team like Hartford, up-tempo, zone, press, fast, physical, and it was like, that's okay. You know, we've seen that style. So I felt really good about that win.
And how did you end up playing Hartford? Is there a connection there? Or
just because they're typically, well, first of all, they're willing to do a home and home. So they're willing to return it, which is a small number of people. But also they're picked to be in it. We always want to be, if we're going to play a regional opponent, we want them to be one or two in their conference. And they will be one or two in this conference.
So this week the game is at New Hampshire.
Yeah.
So
that's kind of fun for me.
Yeah, a lot of travel up and back for you.
Yeah, that's a lot of travel. You're right, up and back. When the bus goes, though, it's a good 6-hour chance to get work done. But, you know, again, they finished the last couple of years. They've been 1-2 in the America East. So we scheduled them. They're a bit down this year due to graduation. But, you know, it's a really cool campus. And obviously I will have many up there, which is kind of fun.
How far is that from where you grew up?
I would say.
How far is that from Dartmouth? I've never been to the University of New Hampshire.
Oh, gosh, it's nice. It's on the coast. So it's southeast.
Okay.
So it's the only, we have the smallest coastline of any state. Now, of course, there's many states that don't have any coastline. But those that have a coastline, New Hampshire's the smallest. And UNH is really right on the coast. And Dartmouth's obviously north and to the west. And I'm from southwest. So now the state's not that big. So I always say everything is a half hour away, grocery store, et cetera. And every distance, everything, any landmark is an hour. So it's probably about an hour.
And what are you looking for out of that game? Anything specific, or you just want to try to get up there and get another win? Or
yeah, we're gonna. That's what we want to do first, is get a win. But because I also would like to pick up momentum from where we left off. I really like where we are right now.
And I was gonna say the next game after that
is that you start Ivy League play and you don't play again until February.
So you have the one game in January, but it's Penn.
Got to go well. Yeah, you want it to go well, and you want.
So that, I mean, I guess the crux of my question is: do you have to do something against New Hampshire that prepares you for Penn, or they're just completely separate animals?
You know, it depends on how they play, right? And UNH isn't playing quite the same way that Penn does. Hartford is. Hartford's a very stingy defensive team, and they play a lot of zone. And they've got kind of the mini pieces. So they were probably a little more similar than UNH is. UNH is bigger, a little more inexperienced. So.
And so now you played on... this is the other thing.
The
day
is Friday or something?
When you get to this day,
yeah.
This time, you can never tell what day it is.
No.
It's Tuesday. It's Christmas on Tuesday. So you played on Friday at Hartford, correct? And then you don't play again until the 29th, which is Saturday?
Maybe.
Whatever 29th is.
Yep.
So it's 4 more days.
Yeah.
What are your players doing between? They all go home? Or?
Yeah, they all went home. So they left after the night game against Hartford was at 7 o'clock. So anyone whose parents were there, local kids, went home right away. The others flew out the next morning very early. And then we will get shots up just to get loose and be together the night of the 26th. And then, so tomorrow night, actually, my gosh. And then... the 20th.
Because you can never tell what day it is.
No, exactly. So that's just going to be literally like an hour in Dillon, getting some shots up, being together. And then we'll practice on the 27th, and then we leave them very early morning of the 28th.
So what do you want them to be doing when they're home, just completely
shutting
it off?
Depends on the year. Depends on the year. This year, with how hard we've played and how few our roster's been so depleted, that we needed to rest guys. So I told them just, you know, rest and recovery. It's all recoup, get the love of your family, everything in moderation for the most part. But some years the breaks are longer and you want them to get two lifts in. This one, I just wanted them away.
And what about the academic piece? Because, you know, the exams are still to come as opposed to pretty much every place else where they've already occurred. Do you find them to be, you know, do you want them to try to step away from that for a little while, or is that?
You know, I don't. You know, I know you, with you having a daughter here, probably part of it is you wondering how to handle that. Yeah. It's for me, they handle their own academic portfolio really strongly. You know, these are kids that are interested in a variety of different things, and some are paper oriented courses, and some are metric oriented courses, and data oriented, and lab oriented, et cetera. So they all have their own rhythm, and I sort of stay out of it except to encourage.
So the academic calendar is changing in 2 years, and we could talk about that now, except we're going to have stuff to talk about for three Tuesdays in January.
Exactly.
So we'll
save
that for three Tuesdays in January. One more basketball-related thing is the injury updates. Anybody coming back soon?
Yes. So we should have – I would think we could potentially be full roster for UNH. And if not, then definitely for we hope for Penn. So yeah, we're finally, I mean, we haven't had everyone in uniform yet.
Yeah,
and we haven't had kind of two, you know, there's been at least two projected starters out every game so far. And so that could be changing very soon, which is exciting.
And what do you, you know, what challenge
how
does that present?
Shift? You know, I think with what we've gone through so far, I love where this team is. I give a lot of credit to our seniors is that we want everyone healthy because that makes us a team, right? And so what that does to people's playing time or rotation or whatnot, we just cross that bridge when it comes, you know. And Taylor Bauer, she had a great first outing and she started, and we expect her to be in the starting lineup, and that will mean someone isn't, and that's okay, you know. And how does that affect what we run on offense and how we play on defense? We'll figure that out, right? And then Clay Ismail is also going to be a heavy minute contributor, we would think. Now, we might want some experience off the bench. So, you know, you just got to do what's right for the team, and we have to figure that out when we see who's healthy.
And what about them? Do you think they come back and they're trying to make up for all the, you know?
Taylor, probably. I think Taylor hates every minute she misses, so she plays so hard and rugged anyway. So,
I mean, I watched, you know, like I watched when Bella was hurt or Taylor play, like, you know, and it's, or Jalen when he was hurt for the men's team, and you're sort of resigned to the fact that you can't play that game.
Yeah.
But I wonder if they think in terms of this is one I can't get back, you know, as they sit there and watch it and they're like cheering and they're engaged and they're part of it. But, you know, there has to be a part of them that when you're an injured player that you're just thinking,
it's a finite career. Yeah, it's a bummer. So, you know, you worry about your fitness a little bit, obviously, and your rhythm and stuff like that. And, you know, luckily, I think this team is strong enough now and finally deep enough with the youth getting better that we'll figure it out. And that's what we've done all year and we'll keep going.
And it's so let's get back to Christmas for a minute.
Yeah.
So you have a favorite Christmas movie, Christmas show?
I don't.
Brown,
I'm really not a movie
life.
Girl. It makes me kind of boring.
The Grinch, Charlie Brown Christmas, none of that stuff?
No. We used to do lots of different things as a family, but one of the movies, we always go to mass or service, and it was always kind of the singing Christmas Carol one, and that was always really fun.
You
and
like
then,
to sing?
I don't. I like to hear other people sing. but yeah, no, I think it's, I don't, no, no.
What's your favorite Christmas carols?
Oh, gosh, a lot of them. I kind of like the one by Bruce Springsteen, Santa Claus is coming to town.
Yeah,
that's kind of fun.
So that's my take on it. So I like a lot of different – so first of all, like, It's a Wonderful Life.
It's such a great movie, yeah.
The scene at the end where Harry comes in and he has the toast, that scene always
– Anyone who hasn't seen that movie, watch it with your
that'll
kids.
That'll tear me up every time. And then, you know, like there's a lot of different Christmas movies or episodes of TV shows that I really like. But when it comes to Christmas songs – it's not so much the song, it's the version, because there's 50 versions of every
song.
It has to be the right version.
Totally.
And, like, the Bruce Springsteen version of Santa Claus is Coming to
Town.
It's
pretty great.
Makes that the best one of all, but like pretty much anybody else singing Santa Claus is Coming to Town isn't as good.
Take it or leave it. That's a leave it. Yeah, you're right. Good call.
So, did you want to sing one, or should we?
Oh my gosh, how's your singing voice?
It's not bad.
Is it? Wow, then I don't, because my mind is not up to par.
It's not good. It's good enough to...
Santa Claus. Well, we want to try to be religiously PC, right? So we can't say Santa Claus. What do Jewish people celebrate for Christmas after Hanukkah? Nothing? You just kind of take the federal holiday and run?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the stereotype of the Jewish family or the Jewish people is to go to the movies and have Chinese food.
Yeah.
And,
do you do that?
I've done that. It's a stereotype, but you know, it's a, you know, I know a lot of people do that every year. So
how about,
you know,
Feliz Navidad? That's a good one.
Feliz Navidad, but I don't know all the words to that one.
No, I don't either.
How about
you're not getting me to sing.
How about just a little Santa Claus is coming to town? Come on.
Okay, start it.
Right, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why.
Santa Claus is coming to town. Right, that's when you bust it
that's
out.
That's right, Santa Claus. Anyway, Santa Claus is coming to town.
It's already came.
Santa Claus is come and gone. And, yeah. You know, it's Christmas, so we can still say he's coming to town. But yeah, we wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a great holiday. Really enjoyed having you here on Christmas Day because
yeah,
I think it was
kinda
a
cool.
little different.
Yeah.
So.
Happy to do it. Thanks
for
coming
in. Good
luck
up in New Hampshire. I'm sure you'll have a lot of people there that you know. And then we'll be back next Tuesday on New Year's Day.
I know. This is so fun.
I know. So we'll talk next Tuesday on New Year's Day, and we'll look ahead. We'll look back to the game that you're going to play.
And look ahead.
And then we'll look ahead to the one after that, which is Penn here January 5th. That's a Saturday. Your game is 2. The men is 5. So we got plenty to talk about there, and that's the only game the women's basketball team will play in January. So anyway, Courtney Banghart, Merry Christmas. And
you
Merry
too.
Christmas to your family and your children. And
you too, your whole crew
it.
Too.
Hope they loved opening all the presents.
All right, you got it.
And then Merry Christmas to everybody listening, and thank you for your continued support of Princeton women's basketball.